What in the world does the unintended consequences economic principle have to do with our everyday relationships? A lot, as it turns out. Stay tuned as we continue our mini-series on becoming relationally smart.
If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Welcome back, my friend. We are continuing our mini-series on becoming relationally smart. Definitely one of those key three aspects of life, a skill set that we never fully, we don't get to the point where we're like, okay, I've got that. I'm good. I'm done. Don't need to learn that anymore. Because the thing is that even though the principles don't change, the application of those principles will be changing throughout all of life because life, have you noticed? It's not stagnant. Even if you have been married to the same person for a long time, you're not really married to the same person and they're not really married to the same person because you've changed. I mean, it's either for better or worse because there's no neutral, but there has been change in you as individuals. There's change in relationship. Kids grow up. Friendships change. And so we're always at work or need to be intentionally at work, honing this skill of being relationally smart. It's not a place that we come to and we sit down and we put our feet up and go, okay, I'm good. I've got this. I can now check off that relationally smart box. I wish that were the case, but it's not. Rather, it is a journey that we need to be on all of our life. Now, definitely there are plenty of people who don't decide to go on that journey, or they get distracted, or they get discouraged at a certain point, and they kind of give up, or they get arrogant, and they think, okay, yeah, I've got this. I don't really need to be intentional about this anymore. And that never turns out well, although tragically, a lot of times when it comes to our relationships, we don't really fully understand the significance of the decisions that we make. Oftentimes, where there's a high level of separation between the decisions that we make and the effects of those decisions. Those might be years, they might be decades later. However, we do not need to be hopeless and fearful of that, because if we are intentional and we live aligned with the truth of how God has designed us and how he has designed this world to be, the more that we live aligned with that, then the more relationally smart that we will be. By the way, speaking of relationships, you probably have some people in your circle. Maybe it's a sister, it's a brother, it's some colleagues at work, it's some friends. Maybe you're part of a small group, or you have at your church, or friends that you have in a homeschool co-op, or part of your private school or your public school friends that you have, other parents that you are in affiliation with, or as an individual. Sure, you have some other people in your circle. Share this podcast with them. It's easy to do. You can usually just forward this on your app. There's usually like a share button. Or you can also just copy the link, or you can send them an email or a text message, a DM or whatever, and say, hey, check out the Life's Key 3 podcast. And they can find it on a podcast app, or can always go to the website, stephaniepresents.com, and you can listen to the podcast there and see the episodes. And while you're there, if you haven't already, sign up for the weekly newsletter, High Impact. Okay, so let's get back to what we're going to talk about today. You know, I opened with asking the question about the principle of unintended consequences in economics. And maybe you're familiar with that, but just in case you're not, I'm going to give you a story that illustrates what this principle is. In 1989, Mexico City in Mexico introduced a policy, because it was trying to reduce air pollution and traffic congestion. So, I mean, their goals were good. Let's reduce the amount of pollution in the air and let's reduce the congestion on the street. Well, they thought that through and came up with a policy. And what they did was they had a, if depending on the last digit of the license plate, then your vehicle was not allowed on the road on certain days, one day per week. So it wasn't like every other day you couldn't drive your vehicle. It was just one day a week. If the last digit of your vehicle was, let's just say, 5, you could not be driving on the roads if, let's say, it was 5 day on 5. Okay, well, certainly that makes it easy then for law enforcement because they can just look at any license plate. And if that last digit was a 5, then they would know, okay, they're in violation of this policy. We can pull them over, issue the fine, ticket, whatever it was that they did. It would seem to make sense, right? But there was a problem. Somebody hadn't really thought this policy through, and they hadn't given enough credit to people's creativity. And also, they hadn't really thought about, okay, what's that really look like for people on at all different economic levels that are working all different types of jobs? Because it's one thing to be able to make decisions and think about how it affects you and your colleagues and the people in your circle, but responsible leaders think about the impact of how it's going to be at all those different levels. And a lot of that only happens when you get out and you actually talk to people before you implement policies. Fortunately, you know, that whole idea still hasn't seemed to have become the norm in leadership. Well, what happened was the idea was, well, what people will do is if their vehicle ends in a 5 is they will carpool on one of those days. They will find a buddy whose last digit is a 7 and they'll switch back and forth. And so again, it wasn't that the ideas didn't have some merit, they did. But again, it wasn't based on how people actually had the capacity to function, because it's one of those ideas that, oh yeah, okay, just go find somebody else that, you know, whose vehicle ends in a 7 and carpool. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody was going to have people within their geographic location who were going to be going to the same areas at the same times of days. I mean, that just was not realistic thinking. And so what happened was the opposite effect. The unintended consequence of this actually increased air pollution and traffic congestion. Why? Because what people did was they said, okay, I have to get to work. I can't just like give up driving for a day. And I don't always have somebody that I can carpool with on the day that my vehicle is supposed to be off the road. So what did they do? They went and they bought second cars. And because the people that were often impacted by this were people who were in lower or middle economic classes, then they often ended up buying older, cheaper vehicles, which were what? These were had lower quality of air transmissions and all of that. And so they were higher polluting vehicles. And so then they would just get a different license plate so they would be able to have transportation every single day of the week. And studies showed over time that that policy actually increased carbon monoxide levels by 13%. So, and not only did it increase the carbon monoxide levels, it didn't do anything to cut down the congestion of traffic. The other thing that it did was because some of these vehicles that were so cheap were also didn't have the highest safety records because they were cheaper because they were more cheaply made. Then you had more fatalities, because when people were in wrecks, the outcome of those wrecks was worse. So this whole policy that was implemented, it meant well, but it ended up doing more damage than it caused. And unfortunately, it is not the only type of policy. I mean, there's all types of policies that have happened over time and have happened definitely here in the United States that people don't think through the whole impact of how that policy is going to function. And sometimes it's not until a year or 10 or 20 years later before the full impact of those policies actually show up. But that same thing that can happen at a governmental level also happens at our personal levels as well. You know, we sometimes have good motivations, just like this Mexico City policy. I mean, it was well intended, and we can have good intentions, but good intentions are never enough. Good intentions will not make you a good parent. They will not make you a good friend. They will not make you a good spouse. They are not enough by themselves. And you can actually end up doing more harm over the long run than good when your good intentions don't get matched up with good practices. And when I say good practices, that is practices that are aligned with the truth of how God has designed us to function as individuals and in our communities. One of the unintended consequences that we have going on in our culture right now come from our cultural focus on two specific things. One is the language of boundaries and the language of toxic people. Now, understand this. Boundaries are important, but like so many things that become a part of our culture's vocabulary, the full meaning and the right application of those things doesn't always make it into the culture as well. And so what we mean, what was written and meant by boundaries becomes distorted over time. People use, they keep the language, but the meaning of that gets twisted and distorted and changed over time until eventually it's no longer an accurate application, but people don't know that because what they have come to believe about things like boundaries and toxic people, toxic cultures and that type of thing, they're convinced, okay, I have a real understanding of what that is. Now, one of the most common phrases that we have in our culture where that has happened is the phrase out of the box. And I've mentioned this before. Out of the box has come to mean, oh, somebody or a group of people who can think very creatively. They're going to be able to come up with some things and ideas that other people aren't going to think about. They're going to be able to see, oh, wow, I'm going to be able to originate this idea that other people wouldn't just normally come up with. That is not where that phrase came from. That phrase came out of a book called Leadership and Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute. And what it was talking about was how we place people in boxes. And then when we do that, we assign beliefs about them. We start telling ourselves stories about them. We tell ourselves stories about their motivation, about their thinking, about their priorities. And then what that leads to is it ultimately leads to self-deception because we begin to justify our own self. And even though I don't think it's a great title, it's a great book. I do recommend that book. It's a short read. And it makes that concept incredibly clear. I mean, you see it in action right there on the page. There's no way you're going to read that and go, I don't know. I don't see how this applies in life. You will definitely see how it applies in your life. But that phrase has become part of our culture. But the true understanding of that, unfortunately, has not. Because what it was when it was written and what it means is get out of the box. I mean, stop putting other people in a box. You need to get them out of the box so that you can deal with them as a unique individual and not as a stereotype. Something that we talked about a couple of episodes back in this podcast. So unfortunately, what has happened with these phrases about boundaries and toxic people is we have come to think of boundaries are things that we tell other people they can't do. Okay, I'm going to establish a boundary, and that means that I'm not going to allow you to do that. That's not an appropriate understanding of what boundaries are. Boundaries are fences we build for ourselves on our own property, not somebody else's. It's about saying, this is what I will do and not do. This is how I am going to show up in the world. This will be how I respond and don't respond. It's not about you and your behavior. It's about me and my behavior. The same thing has happened as we have this phrase of toxic people, toxic cultures has just found its way and woven its way throughout our whole culture at kind of warp speed. Are there toxic people? Yes, but I think that most of the time when we want to put that label on people, it's an inaccurate label. They're difficult people, but hello, we're probably all of us have people in our circle that would point to us as being the difficult person. We might even have people that would point to us as, well, kind of you're the toxic person. Who gets to make that decision? Well, again, and so what we have done with this whole idea of toxic people is, oh, well, they're just toxic, and we stick a label on them. Again, what do? We put them in a box. We put a label on that box, toxic. And that way it justifies what? It justifies us rejecting them, ignoring them, giving up on them, walking away from them, impugning them, chastising them, putting them down. It ends up often justifying our behavior, which is not right and appropriate. Are there toxic people and are there toxic cultures? Yes, those things do exist. But I think that we have found it way too easy to just label what's difficult as toxic as a way to excuse ourselves from not engaging with things and with people that are difficult. What has happened, you're like, well, what is the connection with this and this whole economic thing of unintended consequences? Well, these two aspects and our focus on, oh, we're going to have to create boundaries and toxic people, is that it's had the unintended consequences where we have become so focused on other people and their behavior that we are not doing the equivalent job of focusing on our own. We don't hear an equal amount of language about words like ownership, responsibility, agency. Now, if we had an equal amount of language going through our culture about ownership and duty and responsibility and agency, then it would be different how this over-focus on toxic people has played out. Because as a culture, we have come to view pleasure as a right rather than a byproduct of doing right. You know, Viktor Frankl wrote in Man's Search for Meaning one of the most profound statements. And it is sobering in its truth, but it is true. He wrote, everything that can be taken from a man, everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Now, if you're not familiar with Viktor Frankl and his book, Man's Search for Meaning, he wrote this in 1945 after surviving four, not one, but four of the Nazi concentration camps. That's right. He survived four Nazi concentration camps. He saw the absolute worst of the worst. He experienced it himself. How could this man, within weeks of being of getting out of these, how could he have written this statement that everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedom, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. How can that be? That is a sobering, and yet it is an incredibly empowering truth if we will choose to live aligned with it or not. Now, unfortunately, most of the time, we don't want to live aligned with that, and as a culture, because that means I have to take my focus off of other people and their behavior and getting them to change and getting them to shape up, and I have to look at myself. How am I choosing to show up? Regardless of the circumstances I am in, what is my attitude? Well, certainly there is a difference between what we can cause to happen in terms of circumstances. We don't just have this ultimate divine power to shape all of our circumstances, but we always have the power to choose our attitude, how we are going to show up. Will we conduct ourselves with integrity and honor, or will we not? No one else can ever force you to act in a way that is not filled with dignity and honor and integrity. No one can ever force that from us. But when we get so obsessed with looking out and trying to assess, is that person toxic? Am I in a toxic culture at work? Is this in a toxic relationship? Do I need to be putting up boundaries here? Again, I'm not saying that those things don't exist, and I'm not saying boundaries aren't important, but boundaries have to be understood rightly for what they are. They are not fences we build on other people's property. They're fences we build on our own property. It's not about pointing out other people's behavior and telling them to change. It's about looking at our behavior and how we are or aren't going to show up. So we're going to continue talking about this subject next week as we continue this mini series on becoming relationally smart, because we have to understand that at the foundation of every relationship that we have, it always goes back to our ownership of ourselves. It always comes back to that. It always starts with that. Am I taking personal responsibility for my attitude, for my words, for my behavior? Or am I pointing fingers? Am I blaming other people? Am I putting people in a box and I'm sticking a label on them and I'm saying they're toxic, or they're lazy, or they're uncaring, or they're selfish, or they're unconcerned, or whatever the labels that we want to put on them? And then we use those labels to justify how we are showing up, because that's the cycle that happens. It just will happen by default. We don't have to try to make that cycle happen. That's just the one that we will come by naturally. I mean, do you see little kids that when they are, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, do you see that by default that they are showing up and going, you know what, I took that toy away and I really need to go and apologize, you know, to my sibling for that. No. What do you hear? He took my toy. She hit me. He poked me in the eye. He said a bad word. I mean, it comes naturally to us to start pointing fingers really early at other people and their wrong behavior. We have to learn to stop doing that and to look ourselves in the mirror and say, I am responsible for how I show up in this world, for my attitude, for my words, for my perspectives. And I don't get to excuse myself from being unkind or lazy or selfish because of anybody else's behavior. But here's the beautiful thing about this. The Bible tells us that it is truth that sets us free. And it is truth that sets us free. not just knowing it, because we can know something. It's about living it, though. It's not just coming across the information. It's when we live aligned with truth that sets us free. And while it can be incredibly hard to stop pointing fingers and looking around and blaming circumstances or other people for why we have a lousy mood or why we were unkind or hateful or selfish or lazy or whatever it is that we have going on, or even to other degrees where, well, if he was a better husband, I wouldn't be over here having an affair. Well, if she was a better wife, then I wouldn't have to go use porn. Well, if my boss was just a better person, then I would be able to come and show up and give 100% at my job. When we stop doing those types of things and we take ownership of our life, that is when we really begin to experience true freedom. Because you see, as long as I'm dependent on circumstances or other people for my character, I'm really giving other people power over me. And that doesn't turn out too well, because most of the time we're struggle enough to take responsibility for ourselves. And when I hand that off to somebody else, I'm just allow. It's kind of like saying, okay, here's the end of my leash. Just drag me wherever you want to go. You and, you know, another person with your own problems. But when we take those and say, no, I will take those back in my hands and I will bring them and I will say, God, I am going to hold onto these, and under the power and guidance of your Holy Spirit, then I'm going to ask you to lead me to do what is right, to lead me in right paths. That is when we will experience freedom. And that is one of the most powerful ways that we can become relationally smart. All right, my friend, I hope that you are benefiting from this podcast and this podcast series that we're doing. Again, share this with a friend. If you leave a rating and a review, that's awesome. I really appreciate that. And also remember this, because it is absolutely true. You have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.